Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Now back to Game Replay on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my first responders as well, protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you, and I hope you all are doing well out there on a Tuesday. And first and foremost, party people, we have to start with the Atlanta Hawks. They took on the Chicago Bulls last night, and this was a big game. This was a chance for the Atlanta Hawks to gain some ground in the East. The Chicago Bulls directly ahead of them. They were one game ahead of them coming into this game in that ninth spot, and the Hawks had double-digit leads twice in the first half. They had a double-digit lead, I believe, 12 at one point. Then the Bulls made a little run. Then the Hawks came back, went on their own run, and went up 13. However, at that point, it really started to go downhill for the Atlanta Hawks. The Bulls went on a 12-2 run to end the half, and that gave them the lead at halftime, 60-59. And watching this game, I was just, there were just so many times again where I'm like, where is the defense? What are we doing? Why are you switching so late? Why are you not helping out earlier? What? I mean, just some of the things this team does on defense is just absolutely maddening. I'm like, yo, why are you coming over to help so late? He got an easy layup now. Quinn Snyder talked about it after the game, talked about there were a lot of late switches, which there definitely were, and how the team has to guard better, which they definitely do, because sometimes it just looked way too easy for the Chicago Bulls to get to the rim, and they finished. And I'll give credit to the Bulls. They did a really good job moving the ball at times, and also, when it comes to that, the Hawks didn't help themselves. They got out of position, and they would try to recover. But again, to credit to the Bulls, they moved the ball around a lot when the Hawks did get out of position, kept swinging it around until they got that, ultimately, the shot that they wanted, and they would knock it down. Ayo Dosunmu had 29 points. I believe that was a career high for him. Yeah, career high for Ayo Dosunmu. 29 points, 7 assists. And then also get this. The Bulls where I believe, if I remember the broadcast right, if I remember hearing Bob Rathbun and Neek right on the broadcast, the Bulls came into last night's game against the Hawks 26th in scoring. They posted a season best 136 points. Again, they were 26th in the NBA in scoring. They come play against the Hawks. They shoot 55% from the floor, 46.4% from three, and drop 136 points when they were averaging 111.5 points per game coming into the game last night. They were averaging 111. They got 136. Now, were some shots falling for them? Yes. But a lot of those shots were because bad rotations. Like Quinn Snyder said, late switches, late help when the initial guy would get beat and the Bulls were driving to the rim. There was late help. It just wasn't good enough on the defensive end. And until the Hawks find a way to get that right, I don't care what they do offensively. I don't care what type of streak Trae Young is on. I don't care that Bogey, who was hitting last night, I don't care if he's hitting. It doesn't matter. Because right now, I do not trust this team to get any sort of big stop. They seemed incapable of getting any sort of big stop yesterday. As soon as they would get a clutch bucket, Bogey would hit a clutch three. On the other end, they give up a three. Bogey would get a driving layup, or Trey would get a driving layup, or somebody would score for the Hawks. They give up a three-point play on the other end. I mean, it is literally maddening to watch this team play defense sometimes. I found myself yelling at the TV multiple times, "What are you doing? You got to help that earlier. How'd you get beat off the dribble so easy? What's going on?" So, again, this just goes back to the overall arcing point that this team is bad built. And the other frustrating part of it is that you should have some solid defenders. Like, when Sadiq Bey came in here, his defense was better than what it was now. DeAndre Hunter actually did a serviceable job. DeAndre Hunter actually had a very good night last night on both sides of the floor. So I will give DeAndre Hunter credit. He had a good night last night on both sides of the ball. He had a tough assignment in DeMar DeRozan, obviously, and DeMar's going to do DeMar. That's a great player. He knows how to get to his spot, and he's going to knock down his shot 9 times out of 10 once he gets to his spot. But DeAndre, he made him uncomfortable. He got up in him as much as he could without fouling. So I'm not going to say DeAndre Hunter's defense has fallen off, because I actually think it's good. And when DeAndre Hunter is right, he is still a really good NBA player. But we need consistency out of DeAndre Hunter. DeJounte Murray, he got active on defense too, but still, everybody can be better defensively. Trae Young looked good defensively at times, but again, he looked like a liability at times. So everybody can be better defensively. And again, to me, and maybe I'm tripping, I know it's tough to guard NBA players. And look, I am obviously not an NBA player. I've never had to guard an NBA player. So I get it's not easy, but at the same time, I want some effort. And sometimes I just felt like I didn't see enough effort. It's not like they were completely not trying. I'm definitely not going to say that, because I think they were. But it just seemed like it wasn't good enough. It just seems like they got beat on the perimeter. The dudes just got beat off the perimeter way too easy. They got beat off the dribble way too easy. And again, Offensively, they're fine. They've always been fine. And if our defense was any better, I think we would be talking about a much different basketball team. And I think, honestly, I know how we talk about Trey and DeJounte don't work. And again, is it a perfect fit? No. And I've just said it minutes ago that this team is not built that great offensively. I've called them bad built on many occasions. But honestly, after really sitting down and watching them play defense on multiple occasions this year, if they had some better defenders, and if really just the guys on this team, not even bringing in external pieces, but if just guys on this team play better defense, I think we're talking about a different Hawks team. And I think we're not necessarily talking about this team needing to potentially trade DeJounte Murray or saying this team isn't built correctly or we don't have the right pieces around. Because again, you look at it, offense has truly never been the problem. I mean, they are, I saw this on the broadcast last night. As far as fourth quarters go, they are the third best team as far as fourth quarter scoring goes. So they can score with anybody. They just can't stop a runny nose. They can't stop a comic hoe. And that's really the part that they need to figure out. It's not they don't know what to do on offense. It's not that Trey and DeJounte don't know how to get down together on offense. They just can't stop anybody at the end of the day. And look, sometimes does their offense struggle? Yes, but that's basketball. But night in, night out, when we're talking about a Hawks loss, 9 times out of 10, what are we talking about? The Hawks didn't play defense. The Hawks didn't get the stops when they needed to. Late switches, bad rotations, all defensive issues. So at the end of the day, that is the root of the problem. The Hawks just cannot play defense worth a lick. Is part of it personnel? Yes. Is part of it want to? Yes. And that honestly goes back to personnel. We need guys in here who want to play defense, pride themselves on defense, do anything to get a stop. So, again, it's frustrating because you really had a chance last night, again, to gain some ground in the East, get to that 9th spot. And now, to add insult to injury, the Bulls have the tiebreaker over the Hawks as far as the season series goes because they've won the first 2 games in this season series. So the Bulls now own the tiebreaker over the Hawks. So that could definitely come back to bite the Hawks for sure. We'll see. But just a frustrating night last night watching this team. And again, not even offense. On offense, I found myself, okay, that was a good shot. That looked good. There were, again, some bad turnovers here and there, but that's going to happen throughout the flow of a basketball game. I mainly found myself groaning and griping on the defensive end when the Hawks were playing defense. So, again, does it get any better at this point? I can't say that it will because at this point the Hawks are what they are. What are we? Over 40 games in at this point, nearly 50, if not already at 50. Yeah, over 50 games in. So that was game 54. For the Hawks last night. I hope they can maybe flip the switch defensively. And if they do, this team could have some real potential, but I wouldn't hold my breath on it. I would not hold my breath. As far as how everything went down yesterday, DeMar DeRozan, 29 points, along with Ayo Dosunmu having 29 points. Kobe White had 20 points as well. Nikola Vucevic, he had 24, so the starters really the ones doing damage for the Bulls. Torrey Craig hit a big 3. He finished the game with 9 points as well, so almost all the starters finishing in double figures. Javon Carter, that's the dude we need. I mean, That dude comes in and he is a straight up dog with a capital D-A-W-G on defense. He came in. He basically caused an 8-second violation. He got up in Trey, made him feel uncomfortable. They had to move around to try and just get past him on the initial throw in. And then Trey Young didn't get the ball up the court in time, and it was an 8-second violation. I mean, dude was a menace to Trey Young in that Hawks offense last night. He finished with 11 points off the bench. Andre Drummond, he did a lot of good things on the boards for the Bulls. 7 points, 11 rebounds. Dalen Terry, 7 points, 4 rebounds. Again, Bulls shot 55% from the field, 46% from 3. Onyeka Okongwu getting the start. He had a solid night in place of the injured Clint Capela. 11 points, 12 rebounds. Sadiq Bey, 11 points, 5 rebounds. Jalen Johnson, solid night, 13-8. Trey Young, not a great shooting night for him at all. That was part of the reason, obviously, the Hawks struggled too. He had 19 points, 14 assists, but 2 of 10 from 3, 3 of 14 from the field. DeJounte Murray, 7 of 17 from the field, 2 of 8 from 3. Again, Bogey and DeAndre Hunter were the dudes last night. 23 points for DeAndre Hunter off the bench, 4 of 7 from 3, 6 of 14 from the field. Bogey, 28 points, 11 of 16 from the field, 6 of 10 from 3. So those were really the guys doing the damage last night. Hawks finished shooting 46.8% from the floor, 32% from 3. And next up, before the All-Star break, last game before the All-Star break, the Hawks take on the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte on Wednesday. So that'll be tomorrow. And again, you know you can hear every single Atlanta Hawks game right here on the flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pre-game will be at 6:30. Early tip in Charlotte. Tip-off will be at 7. And again, you can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, where you can hear every single Atlanta Hawks game. Steve Holman will be on the call. When we come back, the Atlanta Falcons have an opportunity to address a position that they've needed to address for years now. But is the person on the market the right fit? We'll discuss it in 5 minutes right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
I'm Amy Lawrence.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Shout out to all my people getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. All my early gym goers out there. And shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Shout out to my guy Reese. He said, no, Dylan, shout out to you, sir. I appreciate you, Reese. My guy Reese always listen out there as well. He put the Snoop Dogg gift with it. Faux shizzle, my nizzle. But anywho, we have some NFL news to get to here. Some that could pertain the Falcons. We all know the Falcons need a quarterback, but that wasn't what I was talking about when I said the Falcons have a chance to go get a guy that could be a solution to a problem that they've had for the past, decade plus? And when I say decade plus, I ain't talking about quarterback, because we had Matt Ryan here, and he wasn't an issue. I'm talking about a pass rusher, because Ian Rappaport reported, I believe this came down either Friday or Saturday, but reports have surfaced that Hassan Reddick has been given permission by the Philadelphia Eagles to seek a trade. Hassan Reddick is set to be, a free agent next year, but he's looking for an extension, and the Eagles are basically telling him, look, I'm sure they would love to get Hassan extended, but for the right price. And it seems like the price that Hassan is asking for right now is a little too rich for the Eagles' blood. So what that number is, not exactly sure. He probably, if I had to guess, wants somewhere around Bosa money, which is around $25 million a year. And look, Hassan Reddick is a dude. He is a dog. He is one of the best pass rushers, outside linebacker types in the league. Four straight seasons, double-digit sacks, been Pro Bowler, been a Pro Bowler back-to-back years with the Philadelphia Eagles. And by the way, those double-digit sacks, he hasn't all done it with the Eagles. He did it with the Carolina Panthers in 2020, did it with the Arizona Cardinals in 2021, and did it with the Eagles in 2022 and 2023, these past 2 years with the Eagles. So he's had four double-digit sack seasons on three different teams, and he's done it in four consecutive years. That's impressive. But the big but's coming. He is going to be, I believe, 30 years old when the season starts. He's 29 right now. Do we really want to see the Falcons bring in and look, I understand we got some young pass rushers already. Maybe we'll bring in another young pass rusher with the 8th overall pick, depending on what we do at quarterback. Maybe we bring in a Dallas Turner with the 8th overall pick. And if you do, I see it both ways. But I'm not sure if, now, this all goes back to what do the Falcons plan to do at quarterback, because it can go a few ways here. Let me just run down all the options. That's the easy thing to do here. Option number one, you go get a quarterback in free agency and you address edge rusher with the number 8 overall pick and you go get a guy like Dallas Turner. That's an option. And you don't pay to get Hassan Reddick. You don't pay for a guy like Hassan Reddick. That's an option. Another option, you draft a quarterback with the 8 overall pick, you trade up, you hand over the quarterback position through the draft. And maybe then you go get a guy like Hassan Reddick in free agency, you trade for him, you're going to have to pay him too. That's another part of it too that we have to mention. You'd have to trade for him, and look, you probably wouldn't have to give up too much to the Philadelphia Eagles to get him, but then you also got to pay him. So what do the Eagles want in return exactly for Hassan? That is a question, because, again, you're going to have to trade for him and you're going to have to pay him because he's not a free agent right now. So that's part of it, too. Do you want to trade and pay a guy $25 million a year? But if the Falcons were willing to do that, you obviously handle the quarterback situation in the draft, and then you go get yourself a veteran pass rusher to go along with, you know, a good mix of veteran and young pass rushers here that are already here in Atlanta. So that is definitely an option for the Falcons as well. Maybe, just maybe, the Falcons do have some cap space. Now, if you go get a quarterback in free agency, depending on who you go get, you probably don't have enough money to do this, I wouldn't think. And you probably wouldn't do this if you're going to get a quarterback in free agency. I don't think there's a world that exists in this universe where the Falcons go get a quarterback via free agency. They would go get Hassan Reddick via trade and then pay him. And then they draft Dallas Turner. Now, would that be nice? For sure. That would be great if you could find a way to get to draft Dallas Turner and you pay Hassan. Look, maybe you can. Maybe, and again, it all depends on what kind of money we're spending on quarterback and depending on just exactly how much you pay Hassan. But, I mean, Dallas Turner would be on a rookie deal, obviously. Hassan Reddick, you would probably sign him to maybe a shorter deal, a three-year deal. And then when it's time to, you know, pay some of these rookies and guys who would be on, you know, expiring rookie deals, you could get out of that Hassan Reddick deal, or that Hassan Reddick deal will be up. I don't know. I'm just trying to find a way to where maybe it could work to where you go get a quarterback in free agency, you get Hassan Reddick in free agency, and you can draft another edge rusher and Dallas Turner. Because, look, to me, how I feel at this point, the room is never too crowded when it comes to pass rushers. Because also, too, if, and I don't know exactly what Jimmy Lake is going to want to do defensively, but Hassan can play outside linebacker. He can be on the edge, but he can also play outside linebacker. So if you don't bring back a guy like Lorenzo Carter, I can't remember if he's on a one-year deal. I have to look up his contract. But if you don't bring back a guy like Lorenzo Carter, if you don't bring back a guy like Bud Dupree, who I do know is a free agent for sure, you don't bring those guys back, he could slide into one of those outside linebacker spots. And then obviously you could have Dallas Turner on the edge. So maybe there's a world where it works out to where you were able to get a quarterback in free agency and Hassan Reddick both. Now, those would be two expensive spots, and I don't know how much more you're able to do in free agency at that point, but that would be two big gets and the two most important positions you will be handling and investing in. And then you go get another guy in the draft too. So maybe. Possibly. I don't think it'll necessarily play out that way. I think it'll be one or the other. I think you either go get a edge rusher in the draft because you went and got a quarterback in free agency, or you get an edge rusher in free agency because you're getting a quarterback in the draft. I don't know if you can have your cake and eat it too in that situation, but maybe you can. And if it's possible, I would not be upset about getting a guy like Hassan Reddick, because again, not only has he shown the consistency, but he's also done it in different places around different guys with different coordinators, different personnel. So when you go three different places and have four straight seasons of double-digit sacks, you a dog. And that means you know how to really get after the quarterback. So again, one thing you do have in the back of your mind is you do, again, wonder about the age. Him going to be 30 when the season starts and obviously be on the back half of his career. But, again, I don't think you'd be giving him a super long-term deal, maybe a three-year deal. So, interesting stuff to think about there. But Hassan Reddick could be a guy the Falcons look into, could be a guy the Falcons have their name in the hat for, and You know, once obviously things start to leak and reports start to come out, do not be surprised if you see the Falcons as one of the teams that have interest in Hassan Reddick. So, look, I wouldn't be opposed to getting both if we can make it work. So, Terry, if you can make it work, go ahead and do it. Get it done. But I know this team is obviously trying to be a lot smarter about spending. And while they are definitely going to try and make the team better, you have to figure out, I think ultimately you have to figure out what you're going to do at quarterback first before you can really decide what you want to do with that edge rusher position. Because again, the two most important things the Falcons got to go get, in my opinion, this offseason, quarterback that can help win you some games and not lose you some games, and maybe go get you another edge rusher, whether that's via free agency or in the draft. So let me know how you feel about it. Would you like to see Hassan Reddick here in the ATL? Tweet at me at underscore Dylan Matthews. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms and follow myself, like I just told you, at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. When we come back, we'll get into some more NFL news because a lot of money was spent and a lot of eyeballs were on the Super Bowl. We'll talk about it in 5 minutes right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. And shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. So the numbers are in and the Super Bowl dominates yet again. Now it's breaking big records. CBS and the NFL have said that the Super Bowl 58 matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs was the most watched telecast in history, averaging 123.4 million viewers across all platforms. So they had, obviously, CBS led the way with 120 million viewers, the largest audience in history for a single network. Super Bowl 58 is the most streamed Super Bowl in history, led by a record-setting audience on Paramount Plus and more than 200 million viewers. 202.4 to be exact, watch all or part of Super Bowl 58 across networks, the highest unduplicated total audience in history and up 10% versus last year's Super Bowl. So obviously the Super Bowl was on CBS, Paramount Plus, Nickelodeon. I'm trying to see what other platforms it was on. I had them all listed here, but I mean, goodness gracious. Everybody and they mama and they daddy and they grandmama was watching the Super Bowl, obviously. So good for the NFL. You know, the NFL just continues, it feels like, to get bigger and bigger, you know. And I have to say, whether or not the – and again, I said it yesterday, I don't think the – Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce relationship, I don't think that was made up. I don't think that was planted. I don't think that was planned or anything like that. Let love be love. Let's not try to put conditions on it or say it was this or that. Let's not try to let's not make it sound like it was arranged. I think it's real. But I will say this. The NFL loves the love between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift because the Swifties came in hard with the NFL, and they obviously had to help out that number. And getting back to what I was trying to tell you guys, so the platforms, the NFL and the Super Bowl were all on CBS, Paramount Plus, Nickelodeon, Univision, CBS Sports, and NFL digital properties, including NFL Plus. So most streamed game, or, and you know, just the most watched telecast in history. So again, NFL continues to not miss when it comes to their games and their products. So the NFL big time winning right now, and don't see them slowing down anytime soon. Now, speaking of winning, I don't know if you won, but a lot of people tried to win when it comes to betting on the Super Bowl this past weekend. 185.6 million dollars were legally bet in Nevada on the Super Bowl this past weekend. So legal gambling on the Super Bowl reached an all-time high in Nevada for the big game this year. The Nevada Sportsbook took $185.6 million in bets. The Nevada Gaming Control Board announced that that's the most ever bet on the Super Bowl in Nevada. And again, unsurprising because, of course, the Super Bowl was in Las Vegas, Nevada. So you expected a little bit more money to be put on everything. And I mean, whew, people were wagering. People were letting the money flow. People were letting the prop bets and the parlays, they were letting them fly on Sunday. And we have a quote here from, I'm trying to see, who was it? Nevada Gaming Control Board Senior Economic Analyst Michael Lawton said, "The wagering on the Super Bowl delivered an all-time record and definitely met our expectations." He also said the drivers for this year's totals included the matchup having a West Coast team for the number two feeder market for Las Vegas and the defending champions, of course, the game being played in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. All big factors in the big bets coming through for the Super Bowl this year. So I saw that Drake obviously put some money on the Super Bowl, and he won because I believe he bet on the Chiefs. I saw Drewski. He won him, and I guess he was giving money away to some fans too, but I saw his Instagram story that he and some of his fans, they ended up winning $1 million because he hit on all of his prize picks bets. So again, some money was flowing, big money was flowing, and I'm sure a bunch of other celebrities had some bets. And again, all of us non-celebrities out here had bets too. Data, did you make any bets for the Super Bowl? Did you put any money down on anything? I know you like to partake in, you know, some things here and there, maybe.
I did a little, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still in the 3 feet part of the ocean when it comes to betting.
Hey, I feel you. I wonder how Sandra's going to be in today. I know she has a little pot that
she did her thing. She did her thing.
She did her thing.
Yeah, she
did she win?
She won. Yeah.
Oh, she did win.
Yeah, she won.
Oh, she made some money then.
Yeah, she gave us peace signs late Tuesday, Sunday night. She threw up the peace signs.
Go ahead, Sandra. So I know who to ask for breakfast for this morning. Okay. Sandra got a little extra Chick-fil-A money for the boy this morning. Nah, I'm just playing. But shout out to Sandra. Hey, shout out to you if you won anything this weekend too. If you hit on any bets, parlays, prop bets, if you hit on your prize picks, whatever it was, if you got some winnings done, shout out to you. But that, again, the NFL just keeps on growing. People continue to throw money at it left and right, and you know, it's the NFL just winning right now, and it seems like no L's right now. The NFL is taken. Real quick, a couple of pieces of other NFL news while we are on the topic. The Steelers have released Mitchell Trubisky as Arthur Smith, the new OC out there in Pittsburgh, if you may have forgotten. He reshapes the quarterback room and some of that offensive personnel out there. So Mitch Trubisky is out, and he is going to be a free agent, and we'll see where Mitch Trubisky ends up landing. But I'm sure he'll find a landing spot somewhere as a backup quarterback. But we are going to see Trubisky signed with the Steelers back in 2022, before the 2022 season, to be their bridge guy. He only lasted four games until Kenny Pickett was ready to come up in the ranks and start. Trubisky started three games this past season when Kenny Pickett was injured, but then Grayson Rudolph ultimately replaced him and helped lead the Steelers to another winning season and another playoff appearance. So we'll see. But Mitch Trubisky, look, you accept that role as a backup quarterback. If you can be somewhat serviceable, you can make yourself some money. And he's made some money already, and I'm sure he'll end up landing somewhere, at least on a practice squad. But I'm sure somebody will take him in as a backup quarterback. We'll see. And then the Cowboys hiring Mike Zimmer to be their defensive coordinator. So he's going to replace old DQ. Dan Quinn obviously taking the head coaching job with the Washington Commanders. So Mike Zimmer, who actually made his name with the Dallas Cowboys before becoming head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, where we last saw him, he really, you know, cut his teeth with the Cowboys, and now he's returning to old Dallas and going to be in Jerry World calling defense for Mike McCarthy. And I just dropped my phone, if that's you, if you heard something there. No need to worry about anything. It's all good. But that is going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Morning Shift. When we come back, though, still a little business to handle. We'll see what's going on a Tuesday edition of the Morning Shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson there in the house. And we'll see what they got coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Morning Shift. That's right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all my first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. And shout out to all my people listening in the bed right now as well. So the numbers are in and the Super Bowl dominates yet again. Now it's breaking big records. CBS and the NFL have said that the Super Bowl 58 matchup between the 49ers and the Chiefs was the most watched telecast in history, averaging 123.4 million viewers across all platforms. So they had, obviously, CBS led the way with 120 million viewers, the largest audience in history for a single network. Super Bowl 58 is the most streamed Super Bowl in history, led by a record-setting audience on Paramount Plus and more than 200 million viewers. 202.4 to be exact, watch all or part of Super Bowl 58 across networks, the highest unduplicated total audience in history and up 10% versus last year's Super Bowl. So, obviously, the Super Bowl was on CBS, Paramount Plus, Nickelodeon. I'm trying to see what other platforms it was on. I had them all listed here, but, I mean, goodness gracious. Everybody and they mama and they daddy and they grandmama was watching the Super Bowl, obviously. So, good for the NFL. You know, the NFL just continues, it feels like, to get bigger and bigger, you know. And I have to say, whether or not the – and again, I said it yesterday. I don't think the Taylor Swift-Travis Kelce relationship, I don't think that was made up. I don't think that was planted. I don't think that was planned or anything like that. Let love be love. Let's not try to put conditions on it or say it was this or that. Let's not try to let's not make it sound like it was arranged. I think it's real. But I will say this. The NFL loves the love between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift because the Swifties came in hard with the NFL, and they obviously had to help out that number. And getting back to what I was trying to tell you guys, so the platforms, the NFL and the Super Bowl were all on CBS, Paramount Plus, Nickelodeon, Univision, CBS Sports, and NFL digital properties, including NFL Plus. So most streamed game, or, and you know, just the most watched telecast in history. So again, NFL continues to not miss when it comes to their games and their product. So the NFL, big time winning right now. And don't see them slowing down anytime soon. Now, speaking of winning, I don't know if you won, but a lot of people tried to win when it comes to betting on the Super Bowl this past weekend. $185.6 million were legally bet in Nevada on the Super Bowl this past weekend. So legal gambling on the Super Bowl reached an all-time high in Nevada for the big game this year. The Nevada Sportsbook took $185.6 million in bets. The Nevada Gaming Control Board announced that. That's the most ever bet on the Super Bowl in Nevada. And again, unsurprising because, of course, the Super Bowl was in Las Vegas, Nevada. So you expected a little bit more money to be put on everything. And, I mean, whew, people were wagering. People were letting the money flow. People were letting the prop bets and the parlays, they were letting them fly on Sunday. And we have a quote here from, I'm trying to see, who was it? Nevada Gaming Control Board Senior Economic Analyst Michael Lawton said, "The wagering on the Super Bowl delivered an all-time record and definitely met our expectations." He also said, "The drivers for this year's totals included the matchup having a West Coast team for the number two feeder market for Las Vegas and the defending champions, of course, the game being played in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium." All big factors in the big bets coming through for the Super Bowl this year. So I saw that Drake obviously put some money on the Super Bowl, and he won because I believe he bet on the Chiefs. I saw Drewski. He won him, and I guess he was giving money away to some fans too, but I saw his Instagram story that he and some of his fans, they ended up winning $1 million because he hit on all of his prize picks bets. So again, some money was flowing, big money was flowing, and I'm sure a bunch of other celebrities had some bets. And again, all of us non-celebrities out here had bets too. Data, did you make any bets for the Super Bowl? Did you put any money down on anything? I know you like to partake in, you know, some things here and there, maybe.
I did some, a little, just a little, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still in the 3 feet part of the ocean when it comes to betting.
Hey, I feel you. I wonder how Sandra's going to be in today. I know she has a little pot that
Yeah, she did her thing. She did her thing.
She did her thing.
Yeah, she
did she win?
She won. Yeah.
Oh, she did win.
Yeah, she
won. Oh, she made some money then.
Yeah, she gave us peace signs late Tuesday, Sunday night. She threw up the peace signs.
Go there, Sandra. So I know who to ask for breakfast for this morning. Okay. Sandra got a little extra Chick-fil-A money for the boy this morning. Nah, I'm just playing. But, shout out to Sandra. Hey, shout out to you if you won anything this weekend, too. If you hit on any bets, parlays, prop bets, if you hit on your prize picks, whatever it was, if you got some winnings done, shout out to you. But that, again, the NFL just keeps on growing. People continue to throw money at it left and right. And, you know, it's the NFL just winning right now. And it seems like no L's right now, the NFL is taken. Real quick, a couple of pieces of other NFL news while we are on the topic. The Steelers have released Mitchell Trubisky as Arthur Smith, the new OC out there in Pittsburgh. If you may have forgotten, he reshapes the quarterback room and some of that offensive personnel out there. So Mitch Trubisky is out, and he is going to be a free agent, and we'll see where Mitch Trubisky ends up landing. But I'm sure he'll find a landing spot somewhere as a backup quarterback, but we are going to see Trubisky signed with the Steelers back in 2022, before the 2022 season, to be their bridge guy. He only lasted four games until Kenny Pickett was ready to come up in the ranks and start. Trubisky started three games this past season when Kenny Pickett was injured, but then Grayson Rudolph ultimately replaced him and helped lead the Steelers to another winning season and another playoff appearance. So we'll see. But Mitch Trubisky, look, you accept that role as a backup quarterback. If you can be somewhat serviceable, you can make yourself some money. And he's made some money already, and I'm sure he'll end up landing somewhere, at least on a practice squad. But I'm sure somebody will take him in as a backup quarterback. We'll see. And then the Cowboys hiring Mike Zimmer to be their defensive coordinator. So he's going to replace old DQ. Dan Quinn obviously taking the head coaching job with the Washington Commanders. So Mike Zimmer, who actually made his name with the Dallas Cowboys before becoming head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, where we last saw him, he really, you know, cut his teeth with the Cowboys. And now he's returning to old Dallas and going to be in Jerry World calling defense for Mike McCarthy. And I just dropped my phone, if that's you, if you heard something there. No need to worry about anything. It's all good. But that is going to do it for a Tuesday edition of the Morning Shift. When we come back, though, still a little business to handle. We'll see what's going on a Tuesday edition of the Morning Shift. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson there in the house. And we'll see what they got coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Morning Shift. That's right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.